is based on the scripture that was just read, and there's a lot there. There's been a lot of movement in the scripture. If you remember last week, we talked about John the Baptist. We talked about what happened and about John and Jesus' interaction and how John might have felt, how John might have responded. Well, today we're seeing a lot. Just in those few verses, there's a lot happening. All of a sudden, John is in prison. Jesus is having to make a decision about where he's going to go, what he's going to do. And then he pulls these other men into a situation that they probably don't anticipate is going to happen. And all of this in just a very few verses. It's more than I could probably tackle effectively in a series of sermons. So I want to focus on one verse out of that passage that Catherine just read that I think God is leading us towards today that pulls all of this together. I've entitled the message, Repent, Changing Direction. And there's a lot of changing of direction going on in the scripture. There's also a lot of changing of direction that we're involved in each day. If you think about it, as you go through life, and a lot of times we try to live our life as though we're going in a straight line. We have these things to do, and the most effective way to get, supposedly, from one place to another is one point to another. But life can't work that way. And because there are times we need to take turns, there are distractions that we have. Sometimes we choose them, sometimes we don't. But the thing is, we're going to change directions at different times. Repent, as it is used in Scripture, is often referred to as repenting from something, from a wrongdoing, and turning towards doing something good. So that's not an inaccurate description quite often in Scripture, but if you look simply at the root word of repent, not in a context of a specific verse, all repent really means is to change direction. Repent, the word in and of and by itself, without context, doesn't necessarily mean you've done something wrong. It simply means change in direction. So when you understand that, I think that gives us a broader understanding of this verse, Matthew 4:17, that I want us to focus on. Matthew 4:17 simply says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So we talked about the word repent. Now there's another phrase there, and it talks about the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is often thought of as literally when we get to heaven. Now, if that's the case, and this word in Scripture was written that long ago, it says in the Scripture right here, the kingdom of heaven has come near. So how are they saying the kingdom of heaven has come near and I'm still not in heaven yet? So what does that mean? What is it about? Well, the understanding for us as believers, and we talk about this when we accept Christ, we talk about this in a time of baptism, but often we don't live into it, and that is that the kingdom of heaven is not something we have to wait for till we get to heaven. We can be a part of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. God is a part of what's happening around us. We believe that. We say that. But do we live into it? So the scripture here, the way I understand it, the way I read it, when it says the kingdom of God is near, it means that we're able to be a part of that. We're invited. In fact, we have a responsibility to be a part of the kingdom of God in the here and now. Now, I want to invite you. It may be a little bit easier to follow where I want to go if you take your bulletin out, and there's a place here that you can look at a little diagram that I have. And it may just help make a little more sense as I go through this rather quickly. And also, in the Gospels, it's pretty cool if you hadn't figured it out, that a lot of stories in the Gospels, they're repeated, and they're like different accounts of the same thing from different people. So this scripture that we're talking about here in Matthew chapter 4 is almost repeated almost exactly in the first book of Mark. So if you look at the first chapter of Mark, if you look at Mark chapter 1, and I'm just going to pick out that one verse instead of reading it all again, but if you read the first chapter of Mark yourself, you'll see it's very close to what Catherine just read in Matthew chapter 4. But in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, this is what we read. Mark 1:15 says, "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Almost exactly the same thing we just saw in Matthew. So I wanted you to see this is a theme, a big theme throughout the gospel. And it's saying that this is what Jesus did. This is what Jesus went about doing. This is what he preached when he was here on earth. So I think it obviously warrants our attention. So if you look at this little diagram, I'm going to talk about it for a minute. I talked about how a lot of times we attempt to go in straight lines. If you consider this line here to be your birth, and if the end of the line is going to be your death, a lot of times we're just going along and that's how we think of life. But God desires, and I mean this, and I want you to hear what I'm saying. God speaks to each and every one of us every single day. I'm not going to ask you to respond to me and answer this question, but can you really say that you heard and you know something God said to you yesterday in the midst of the way you were living? Because I'm telling you that I know God spoke to you yesterday. I know God spoke to me yesterday. I know God speaks to me every single day. So if I'm so serious about that, and this is a part of the message, I think I have a responsibility to try to help us really come in tune with that and understand what that's about. So when you leave today, I hope if you aren't already there, you have a tool that's going to better equip you and me to be able to hear God and what he says to us on a daily basis. So we only got a few minutes to do that, so let's get to it. So you'll see that here in this circle, it's going around, and I intentionally have the circle going a little bit above this line that I call life. And as we go through life, there are things that happen that I'm going to call speed bumps. How many of you have ever hit the speed bump at Walmart? Raise your hand if you hit the speed bump at Walmart. Raise your hand higher if you hit the speed bump at Walmart going faster than you should have. Okay. Well, a lot of times in life, that's what we do. We're going through life, and there are speed bumps in life. There are things that happen, and we hit those, and we just keep on going, and we don't pay attention. And those speed bumps, and they can be big speed bumps, they can be little speed bumps, but these are opportunities for God to speak to us, and we need to take more opportunity, more time to embrace what God may be saying. So this is what I want to see. You can choose to go through life and jump that speed bump and keep going, or we can reflect for just a moment and do a few things. This first line that you'll see, it's a blank line, and on that, if you want to keep notes, I would write the word observe. So as you're going through life, there are things, and every single day this happens, you will hit some type of speed bump, big or small, that you can observe what's happening. What's going on in your life? Just practical, right there for it. How would you describe what just happened? So then you got the next one. First you observe. The next is you reflect. And you observe and you reflect. Okay, this happened, and we talked about this speed bump. Is there something God wants to say to me? So you're reflecting. You observe something happened. You reflect on how might God be trying to speak to me through this. And then after you've spent some time reflecting, and you need to figure out how long that is, the next one is discuss. Now, I like to point this out because I'm interested sometimes in introverts and extroverts. The introverts love the reflecting part because that usually is something you can do by yourself. And you hang out, and introverts can hang out in that reflecting part forever. But the extroverts, they think the reflecting part's a waste of time because they figure, I'm going to process everything through talking anyway. So they don't take the time they should to allow things to absorb because they want to jump and go tell somebody about it and ask questions and have the conversations. But both are important, regardless of which one you're drawn to most. It's important to reflect and allow God to speak to you personally. It's also important to have others around you. Yes, we come together as the body of Christ, and what we do in worship is important, but this is only a small portion of what God intends as the body of Christ. One of the huge gifts of the body of Christ is that we can rely on each other for support and encouragement and accountability. So that needs to be a part of us understanding God speaking to us, is realizing that God uses those around us. and that we should be able to go to them and have those conversations and process that in some way. So if you look at here, the one side of this says repent. So all of the first three things I just shared with you, I would place under repent. And repent is talking about changing direction. Remember we said that? So it doesn't necessarily mean when you hit that speed bump you were doing something horribly wrong, this horrible sin. It simply means something happened, and it's possible that that's God saying, okay, but now I want you to go in a different direction. But if you don't take time to observe what has happened in your life and reflect on what God's has saying and maybe talk to somebody about it, you may not even think about changing directions. But that's the first part of this process, and that's what we would call repentance. Unfortunately, some people get that down, but then they stop there. They say, yep, I figured it out, and I know what needs to happen different. But particularly in Mark, it says to repent and do what? Repent and believe. So if you're going to believe, and I want you to understand how this word is used, believe in the English language at times can be seen as a passive form of speech. In this case, it is not. Belief requires action. So if you're going to repent and you're going to change direction, you realize that, but then you actually have to put it into action, and that's the believe part. If you really believe that God is leading you in this direction, you have to follow through with that belief with action. So there are three things that go along with that. The first one is you make a plan. Okay, I'm going to go back and help with that review. So you observed something, you reflected on it, you discussed it. What is it that God said to you through that repentance process? What is the change of direction? How are you supposed to do something different? It could be a very small thing. It could be a very large thing. And I'm telling you, a lot of time when we talk about how God speaks to us, and you ask somebody, I did this with a group of preachers one time. I shared something along this teaching with them. And they're preachers, and they most of them preached every Sunday morning. And I asked them to share with me a time God spoke to them. Every single one picked some grandiose time and some big, huge change in their life. And I said, that's great, and I thank you for sharing. How many of you have ever preached in a pulpit on Sunday morning that God speaks to you on a daily basis? Everyone, I'm raising a hand really quick. Yes, that's exactly what God does. I said, why didn't any of you tell me about a time God spoke to you in a simple way? About something that was just about your everyday life. Every single one of you gave me some grandiose, big change in your life. So we even as pastors talk about that, but we don't acknowledge it in the way that we should. God desires to be a part of every aspect of your life, and we need to give Him that credit and realize that and recognize that. We don't have to make that big a deal about it. We just realize God's there and pay attention. So what is the plan? And it can be a small thing. But then once you have that plan, I think it's biblical, that a large part of being a body of Christ goes back to what I mentioned further with others being a part in terms of accountability. We have the responsibility of doing it, but we're much more likely to do it if there's somebody else that's walking alongside us going to help hold us accountable. And you know it. What anything you've tried to do, if you've made a commitment that you were going to lose weight, if you made a commitment you're going to exercise, if you made a commitment you're going to quit smoking, if whatever commitments you may have decided you're going to do, it is always easier if you have somebody else that's there with you, alongside of you, encouraging you, or maybe even doing it with you. You know that. So that should be a part of how we recognize that we can achieve what God's calling us to do and change the direction. So the five lines so far we had: observe, reflect, discuss, plan, accountability, and the last one is act. The Nike commercial, just do it. A lot of times we as Christians, we said and we have committee meetings about it and we do all this other stuff about it and we never really follow through, but you act on it. And you know what? If you do that and you've hit that speed bump of life and you take time to process it, when you come back around here to the top, and you're going to move on with life, you're a different person than you were when you hit the speed bump to start with. Now, you obviously don't have time to sit down and go through this process in the way I did it with the minutes that I took every single time something happens. But if you will do that occasionally, maybe sometime today, think back over the past week. What was a speed bump in your life? And go through the process that I just shared and ask God, what did you want me to learn from that? And as we do that, as we get a habit of it, of doing it, you don't have to have a piece of paper. You don't have to sit down. It just becomes a part of the way you think, and you recognize that God is a part of everything that's happening in your life, and you see and you feel and you know how God is speaking to you through that. It becomes a part of the way we function. So I hope this is helping us to understand that one thing that it said when Jesus said that you're to repent and believe, and this became what he taught. And right after it said this became what he taught, he went and he enlisted his first disciples. And I'm sure that's the first thing he taught them too, about what it meant to be a part of the kingdom in the here and now. So we're not just waiting for heaven, folks. We have responsibilities now. And so as I bring this to a close, I want to give an example, and this is a simple, small example, because we as pastors give too many of the big, grandiose examples. So I thought it would make sense if I just pick one that happened to me yesterday, the time God spoke to me. And it sounds small, but then the more I thought about it, it became a big thing. We stopped by Sam's to pick up something, and as we go by there, we went by the food court place to get something to eat for the boys, and we're there, and as we're waiting to pay, this guy comes up. And he had ordered a large meat lover's pizza. And he goes up to the guy, that the cashier that's there. And by the way, there's only one cashier there. And he's cashiering, he's cooking, he's taking the money, he's responsible for it all. And there's a line of six people, and I'm the sixth one. Well, the guy comes up and he said, "Do you have any idea how much longer it might be for my pizza?" And the guy looked at him kind of nervous and said, "What did you have?" He said, "A large meat lover's." And he looked and he said, "Somebody lost your order." And I don't know how long this guy had been waiting, because he was there when I got there, and I'd been there about 5 minutes by now. How do you think this guy responded? Think about, don't answer me, but think about how you would have responded. This is what the guy did. He didn't get upset. The guy said, "I'll go get it now and put it in." And the guy looked at him, not upset at all, and said, "You know, that's okay. I can see that you're here by yourself and probably trying to do the best you can." And he stood over, not upset, not annoyed, not any of that. And you know what? My boys saw that. And my wife saw that, and I saw that, and we didn't say anything about it at first, and then Christy looked at me and said, "Greg, you know, I was just really impressed by what that guy just did." And she said, "You know, he gave a great example to Caleb and Noah, and they rarely see that." The sad thing is, they don't see it from their dad as much as I wish they did. Because I'm not sure their dad would have responded the same way that guy did there. And so Christy said, "I think it might be good for us to give him a word of encouragement." So I did. I went up and stood beside him and I said, "Can I tell you something?" And he said, "Sure." And I said, "My wife and I were talking, and I just wanted to come over here and thank you for the example you just provided for my boys of what you did when they forgot to do your pizza, because we don't see that very often. And I like the fact that my boys get to see how they're supposed to handle themselves in that type of situation." And he said, "Thank you. That's a very humbling thing to hear." So now take that and put it into the circle. I observed someone that made a good choice. And it could have just been that. I could have gone on with life. We could have just done our food thing and got out of there and gone and took care of what we're supposed to. But we observed it. And then I reflected. I actually thought about it before Christy said anything. And then Christy and I talked about it a little bit. And then we made a plan. And for us, this plan was able to happen immediately. And so I did. And with Christy's encouragement, the accountability part, I followed through. I acted on it. And you know what? When I came back out, do you think there's anything different now about me than it was when I hit that speed bump to start with? Do you think I'm going to respond any differently the next time that I don't get something exactly the way I want it because I thought I was entitled to it? And then on the way home, it just continued. Christy and I had a conversation and said, "You know, we know nothing about this guy." Our boys said, "I bet he's a Christian." One of them said, "You bet he was a snow skier too." I don't know where he got that from, but he just assumed he was a skier. And Christy and I made the conversation, said, "We don't care what type of things he faces, but I bet you that he has a good life. Because in the midst of the conflict, somehow or another, he's able to deal with it in a way that helps him be more of the person that I think God probably wants him to be, and to live in peace and to be that example for others." That's one of the small examples of how you use that circle, how you understand what it means to repent and believe. So I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. Ask Melissa to come up. We're going to have our closing song. And the closing song that we're going to have is "I Love to Tell the Story." And I want you to think about that as we sing this. What does it mean to tell the story? What does it mean to understand God in your life in a way that you live it by repenting, changing direction when God calls you to, and then believe it by believing in action? And who are the people that, one, we may need to be paying attention to receive God's message from? And who is it that may be watching us? And what responsibility do we have to others? Let's stand together and sing. I'll be here at the front to receive any decisions, whether it be you desire to know Jesus Christ more yourself so you can enter into this repentant, believing relationship. I'd love to talk to you about that. Whatever it may be, come as God would lead.